Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm healthy. I want to stay healthy. I like the idea of what the product is all about. I believe in the body's ability to heal itself, and I also believe that fruits and vegetables from God's great earth are the best way to do that. This is derived right from fruits and vegetables, and there's no extra chemicals involved. And I thought, you know what? If I can just keep my immune system super strong, I'm in favor of it. So far, I've been able to avoid any sicknesses, and I just like to stay out ahead of these things.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
We're talking politics today. Caffeine, you're on the bench. Xanax, suit up. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Welcome back this Christmas Eve. In his final show of the year, radio great Rush Limbaugh had a message for his listeners that had nothing to do with politics.
My point in all of this today is gratitude. My point in everything today that I share with you about this is to say thanks and to tell everybody involved how much I love you from the bottom of a sizable and growing and still beating heart. I wasn't expected to be alive today. You have an expiration date. A lot of people never get told that, and so they don't face life this way. I've learned what love really is during this.
Welcome, Kate Daly Show, last final hour on a Wednesday. You're halfway through your week. And, of course, the news of Rush Limbaugh passing, a true giant. We probably all wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Rush Limbaugh. And I've got Susan with me. How are you, Susan?
I'm great.
Big thank you to Melissa. That was interesting, talking about Sparta, the 30 tyrants, and talking about where we're at right now and where do we go from here. A big history lesson to learn and how we got here. But, you know, if it wasn't for Rush, like I said, we wouldn't be here because Rush really opened the floodgates for conservative talk. And he was able to point things out as far as the system goes, you know, how the system was working in Washington and why things weren't making sense. He did it the best. You know, probably always will. That'll be the guy, you know, who talks about the left as nobody had ever talked about it before and brought that to light. And so a lot of people can say, well, I've listened to Rush for 20 years, 15 years, 30 years, you know, because when you tuned into him, you were going to hear how the mechanics of DC worked. And that's what was important about the work he did to me. And then, of course, on this show, we talk about the right-left paradigm being the same on the back end. And there's so much now we can add to the story of the mechanics. But you have to give your, you know, tip your hat to the guy that is the legend that made this all possible and then put it on the map. Conservative radio spoke to the majority of this nation as TV was hijacked by the left. You do have a lot of people in conservative radio that are controlled. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. They're controlled and told what to say, what they can't say, more importantly. But at the same time, they were having a conversation that made people at least think and go do some more homework. And I'm always in favor of that. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. So my hat tip to Rush Limbaugh for everything that he brought in a whole long career of just making sense out of what was happening so that he could present that in a great way with a great sense of humor. Just, yeah, good guy.
He was awesome.
In that way. So
I actually have a Rush Limbaugh story.
Okay.
So I started listening to him in 1992, so mm-hmm. about 28 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was so impressed one day that I decided I was going to write a letter to him. And I wrote a letter that was about just, you know, one or two paragraphs, mm-hmm. just thanking him and how meaningful what he said meant to me and the first time I ever heard him and why that was so significant to me. And the next day, he said, friends, we are going to do something a little bit different today. I would like to hear about the first time you heard me on the air.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
It was the very next day, and I knew it was because of my letter.
Interesting.
Yeah, and the people that called in, it was phenomenal. And what you realize, it was really the first social media interaction that we ever had.
You're right.
We would hear from people all over the world. And their experiences and what was happening in their state with their legislators, and it was fascinating to us.
I bet.
We had never been connected on this kind of web before.
Right.
And so to hear people and the connections that were made, there was one story that I posted that talked about a man who called in. He spoke for 10 minutes. He spoke about dealing with a handicapped wife who had leg prosthesis and the challenge that had been over the years and how they had developed this, this nonprofit. He said, this man said that Rush kept him on after the break, and he actually connected up with a surgeon who heard him on the radio, an orthopedic surgeon. He said that connection was made due to the Rush Limbaugh show, and that man became so significant in helping them in their missions in Africa, in treating people.
Nice.
He said, how can you say that this was a message of hate?
Right.
And conspiracy.
Yeah, the left was, they were so jealous, and they owned the medium of TV, you know, nice teeth and nice hair and bobbleheads, right? And so they were very jealous of what Rush could do on the radio.
They didn't understand
it. They didn't understand it.
And that was one of the things he repeatedly said. He said, the left does not understand our relationship, my relationship with you. And that is why we're so close. I don't know if you remember something called Dan's Bake Sale. We were all so enthralled when somebody called in and said, I want to subscribe to your newsletter, but I can't afford it. My wife won't let me use it out of the budget. And he said, well, why don't you have a bake sale or something? And he said, he called back in and said, I guess that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a bake sale. It's going to be on such and such a date. Thousands of people came from around the country. Thousands of people, if not tens of thousands. And Rush went.
Was
a big event, just like a precursor to what the Tea Party then became. And Rush gave a speech. I mean, there was nobody who could galvanize people like this.
Yeah.
Not even the president of the United States, who, you know, people knew that anytime a president would speak, they would ask for money.
That is so true, though.
This talk about an influence like that. And I have to add one more thing. James O'Keefe just said, Rush once asked me about cowardice, even on the right. He knew being hated is a byproduct of truth telling. And he said, there is a good reason for the media hating me. One of the toughest things I've had to do was learn to psychologically accept the fact that being hated was a sign of success.
Love it. Love it.
So brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yes.
That's truly brilliant.
And he was the one who flipped Andrew Breitbart, who grew up in liberal Santa Monica, assumed that that was just normal. And then he said he got back from college, totally radicalized as a even bigger liberal. But he was delivering scripts in his car from producers and whatnot. And he said, I would spend all this time in the car listening to Rush Limbaugh. And all of a sudden I went, oh my gosh. And he said, my friends didn't understand what was happening to me, but I was hearing truth about politics for the first time. What was really going on in DC, how both parties, their kids were intermarrying, they were vacationing together, the right and the left. And we in the outskirts, we had no idea this was going on.
Right. They sold it totally different.
Totally different. And so to know that that galvanized Andrew Breitbart, and then to know that turned into Breitbart Media, multimedia. Amazing.
I know. I had David, I love those stories. I had David Limbaugh on the show several times, and we asked him about growing up with Rush. Here was his answer. It's only about a minute and a half. Here you go. David, were you raised in a really, really political family growing up when you guys were really little, teens and,
oh,
and so forth? Yes.
100,000%
Wow. So you had some lively dinner talk, I'm sure. Dinner table talk.
We had some lively, we sat around and listened to my dad pontificate, if that's what you mean.
Was everybody on the same page ideology-wise, or what? Or was everybody a little different?
Well, we're like many versions of the left, the adult left today. we didn't dare disagree.
Oh, yes, yes, I bet. I just wondered what that was like for you growing up. My mom made us read the newspaper before we sat down to breakfast, and I wondered what that was like.
That's exactly what my sons will say someday.
Yep, it's true. Go ahead.
Well, humor aside, he taught us to think for ourselves.
Good.
Being a conservative is thinking for yourself.
Because of course.
The mainstream media, even back then, was very liberal and denied it. Mm-hmm. They editorialized while they pretended to be delivering news, and my dad would be furious, and he would, you know, he'd yell at Walter Cronkite and all these guys. Now, Eric Severide came on, and they said this is commentary, but they were editorializing when they were delivering the news, too, and it infuriated him.
I love that. Love that story. You know, hat tip to Rush because, wow, what a life. And his tearful goodbyes and explanations. He also did poke the holes in the COVID narrative, and I was really happy to see that. Really happy to see him do that. He was a force to be reckoned with, and no one will ever fill his shoes. Ever.
Oh, no.
I mean, they can't in the capacity that he held in America. But now we need to go farther in talk radio. We need to tell more truth about all the things that we've been lied to about. And there's so much there. And he opened the window to the mechanisms in Washington. And now we got to go further and enlighten a population about what we've been honestly lied to about. And there's so much. It's just endless. I could do endless shows just on incidences that we were lied to about. So we have so much truth telling to do, and we need to take it farther. And I hope we get the chance to do that because I know that their mission is going to be to shut down conservative radio. They know that this is like what you said, this was the place where people gather, and they know that there's strength in numbers, and they know that other people in the country feel this way and they're not crazy. Right?
Oh, yes.
So that's exactly what they're going to go after. They don't want us to feel connected in any way. And this is the biggest medium by far that we connect, much bigger than social media, because we're all listening, you know, to the same. But we also need talk show hosts now to step it up on the truth train. And we need to make sure that they're telling the truth. You know, I used to say, you know, it was all about world peace. No, it's all about truth. If we can get to the truth, that creates peace. You want peace in this world, then you tell the truth.
That's right.
Right? The only thing that divides us now between the right and the left are lies. Right? It's the amount of lies we've been told about our history and who we are as a country. That's the dividing factor in this country. There's no dividing factor bigger than that.
Yeah.
And so if we can cut through that, then we can use the mic for good. Then I'm all for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and there was an old theory that said, it may be still true, that in families, when you had a lot of lies going on between the parents, that's what made the kids sick. Because the kids didn't know who to believe. They didn't know what version. It literally made everybody physically ill in the family, if not mentally. And so that's what we are caught in between.
Yeah.
These big lies going on around
us.
So
we can't play it safe at all. And this is what the mission has been of the show. But we just cannot play it safe. We have got to just start telling the truth. The truth will resonate with people. They'll know when they're hearing it. And things will start to make sense more. But I love that Rush Limbaugh opened the gates of this, presented a platform, strengthened the platform, and made everybody start thinking about what the news media was telling them. And now the news media is far worse than that.
So it's easy
to see the corruption now. It wasn't as easy back then, but we knew something wasn't hitting home, right? Anyway, we'll be right back. More with Susan when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
There's a calm before the storm. I know it's been coming for some time.
Hi there. This is my favorite hot tubbing song. It really is.
Wow.
This relaxes me. I'm serious. It's the two of them together. What a combo. Sitting in a hot tub listening to this. Geneva Magnus is this version, and I love this version of the John Fogerty song. Geneva Magnus. Have you ever seen The Rain? I love it. It's a sexy song. It's a great song.
It is.
So we were just talking about Rush, hat tip to Rush, and a phenomenal body of work and all that he was able to accomplish in his lifetime, dead today at the age of 70. And he will be a missed voice. And I also wanted to mention how ruthless the media is being, calling him, you know, the end of bigoted conspiracy talk and all this kind of stuff. It's desperate from the leftist media. Their level of hate is out of control. But it's good though to see it, because they're playing their hand so far, and they're being such tyrants about this and so disgusting and classless that it's not hard to see who they are.
They're exposing
at their
themselves.
Roots. So it was you know, good. Keep exposing yourself, news media. Love it. They're so wrong about Rush too. I really do think Rush had a big heart, and I think he was really out there trying, and he did a wonderful series of children's books as well. A just amazing body of work. So, we'll take a call, and then I want to talk a little bit about weather for just a moment, if you guys will. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I loved Rush.
Mm-hmm.
Up and away, my beautiful balloon.
Oh, I love
like
it.
That song.
Yeah.
Ever since he said that, I always thought of condoms. Whoa. If you feel the need to wear a condom, maybe you shouldn't be going there.
Thank you for that enlightened comment.
I'm confused.
All righty. I want to talk a little bit about weather. Tucker Carlson kind of nailed it. Let me just play a snippet of this, because it really was rather good. Let me see if I can find it, first of all. But he talked about this. Texas, about what Texas was doing. Let me see if this is the right clip. Here we go. Oh, whoops. What can I say? It's this kind of stuff happens all the time in radio, especially when we're live. Okay, let me see if this is the one. All right. Okay. For some reason, I am playing a lot of music right now, and I have no idea why. Hold on just a second, because we were going to talk about heat, right?
Yes, we're going to talk about heat.
Green New Deal has come,
here we go.
Believe it or not,
Tucker Carlson,
to the state of Texas. And we're here with the report. How's it working out so far? Well, the good news is all that alternative energy seems to have had a remarkable effect on the climate, as intended. Last night, parts of Texas got to temperatures that we see in Alaska. In fact, they were the same as they were in Alaska. So global warming is no longer a pressing concern in Houston. We've solved that problem. The bad news is they don't have electricity. The windmills froze, so the power grid failed. Millions of Texans woke up to spoil their water because with no electricity, it couldn't be purified. The ironically named Electric Reliability Council of Texas, which oversees the grid, had no solution to any of this. They simply told people to stop using so much power to keep warm. So in Houston, hundreds of shivering Texans headed to the Civic Center like refugees to keep from freezing to death.
Yeah, it works out well, doesn't it? All their policies. I swear to you, anything that they think is just awesome works out like this. So snow-covered grids, snow-covered windmills. So nothing's working. Coal to the rescue again. The insanity of these people.
I've been reading some of the comments online.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's one that said, update, 57 hours with no electricity.
Okay. So how do people stay warm? Because you know what? If this were to happen, this could be a great lesson. Obviously, the biggest lesson is, hi, coal, but whatever. They think these leftist agenda moves will work. They don't, especially
no.
In an emergency like this. And it's a crock of crap is what they're selling everybody. But let's push that aside. How do you stay warm, Susan?
So my husband, who runs a company that prepares people, essentially wrote an article called 5 Ways to Conquer the Cold. And your body loses heat in 5 ways. One of them is radiation from exposed skin. Your heat is radiating out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to put on layers and bundle up. And people who are used to warmer climates,
mm-hmm.
It's almost like they don't have a lot of this common sense knowledge. You know, they're out there wearing cotton, which is not a good material to wear. The other thing is evaporation. Somebody thinks, well, it's cold out, but I'm still going to go running. And so they're not properly prepared. They're out running in colder temperatures than they imagine. The other one is convection, which is if you get wet. Now, we know there's snow. We know there's all sorts of things happening. And ice. They had an ice storm. If you get wet, that accelerates the cooling process. And so people are forgetting all these things. And I know that there's another one that is, we had a funny conversation in the car, Kevin and I did. My mother, when I was little, would not let me wear a scarf to wrap around my face to walk to school in Chicago when it was cold. She said, no, you're going to get your face chapped based on the aspiration of all the moisture that you're breathing out. And Kevin said, my husband said, well, now she's wearing a mask. So how does that make any sense? Now she's all masked up. So anyway, but if you're out breathing cold air, you are going to get cold, right?
Sure.
So then there is also conduction. If you're sitting on something cold, then you are going to lose heat because you're sitting on something cold.
This is why you don't sleep on the cold ground.
You don't sleep on the cold ground. You don't sit on cold rocks. You have to know these rules, these principles of how you lose heat.
Right.
And so then there is something that counteracts each one of those. So the first line of defense is your clothing. So the enemy in cold weather is moisture. So the first layer must be a wicking layer.
Right.
So then insulation and then a waterproof layer. So if you're thinking in terms of that, wicking, insulation, and then waterproof. If you get those in some kind of reverse order, it's not going to work.
Pitching a tent also in your living room to contain heat, right? Yeah, can you do that, to contain heat a little bit more?
Absolutely. And you can also, kind of a you can also put blankets up so that you're only heating one room. Just make everybody sleep in one room.
Sure.
And maybe it's the family room where you've got the kitchen nearby. But that way you're not trying to heat the whole house and heat isn't dissipating. Wear fleece and wool, goose down, but wool is better than fleece.
Right.
So a lot of people in the South just don't have wool.
That's so true.
They got the sheep, why? They don't have the wool.
Why? There you go. You know, there's so many great hints here, and these are the things to make sure that we're learning a huge lesson while we're sitting in the comfort of our own homes as these green energy initiatives go very, very wrong. And we can learn that lesson. We can also learn a lesson on what we need to have in our arsenal for supplies. I mean, these are the things that you got to be thinking about and teaching our kids about, more importantly, right?
Yes.
Showing our kids how to do this. My husband's great at keeping warm because he worked in the wilderness forever. And so he understands, but a lot of people just don't. They don't get this.
No. And they forget things like always wear a hat and a neck gaiter.
Right.
I tend not to wear them. And then I forget.
Yeah.
But a hat and a neck gaiter. So your kids, if you want to keep them warm somewhere, put those things on
and
them.
And where's all of our generators? Right?
What
Everybody
happened?
Should have a generator. And, you know, I guess if you're getting a check from the good old government via us, spend it on a generator.
That's right.
It's surplus, right? So you didn't think you were going to get it. Well, there you go.
You know,
solve that issue.
Somebody mentioned that they were using a small wood-fired steam generator and that they'd been using it for 25 years. A wood-fired steam generator. Now, I had never heard of
this. This is when you get on YouTube and you really learn to, this is where you can appreciate TV because you can learn things like this. This is so great. YouTube has so many phenomenal videos of people actually making things and doing things and all the know-how that we need to lodge into those brains of ours, because I have a feeling we're going to have a lot more. It's either going to be manipulated weather or we're going to have real weather occurrences. And it's like with anything, they keep promising this by the year 2025, you're going to have water shortages like crazy and famine. Okay. Unless it's manipulated, how would they know that's, how would they know that to say that to the people? Because there's no reason in a world of plenty like we have that you could run into a famine right now. I'm sorry. And so unless it's manipulated, but I'll tell you, we need to get way more prepared. We have just dropped the ball for the last 4 years on preparedness.
Oh, completely.
It's going to bite us.
Completely.
Yeah.
And people in the South maybe had not thought, I need to have just a bundle of wool clothing stored on my top shelf somewhere.
Right. And some galoshes and some
mittens, the wool socks and the boots, because it doesn't occur to them. And I feel bad for people who have emigrated from, say, Central America, where a lot of people don't end up with super cold temperatures. Now, some do, but they would not have been prepared if they had just come with minimal clothing for the appropriate Texas weather.
I agree. Kevin, charcoal. There's all kinds of things we should have.
They really on hand. Yes. We're just using, I didn't know something called fat wood, is that there is when the tar in a tree is saturated in, we're using pine wood, you can slice it really thin, and when you put it on the fire, it burns really quickly. It like lights and ignites the fire. And so you don't have to have tons of kindling. You don't have to have, it just ignites. And I thought, well, when you light it, but I had never known that before. Hand warmers.
Yep.
If you have a supply of hand warmers for when you need them, it will be amazing. Liquids and foods. Soup is a superfood because the liquid warms you up. And because the food is cooked, the vegetables are cooked, your body can absorb them more easily. They're transferred to your system. It really is like a survival food.
And soup lasts a long time.
Soup lasts. You can keep adding things to it. You can throw in leftovers. It's awesome.
It's a great hint. Yeah, I like
it,
that.
It really is. And so, and doesn't matter if your kids are complaining. You know, we raised seven kids and they would complain, are we having this again?
Right.
Yes. Well, when you're hungry, food tastes better.
Yes, that's so true. So
maybe you're hungry.
And solar powered items, solar powered chargers, solar powered
items.
Yeah. Items to cook. You know, there's just so many ways to cook without electricity that you can do.
There are
camping stoves, you name it.
That's right. And to know your tolerances. Mm-hmm. So, once Kevin was out of town for 4 or 5 days, we lost electricity, and he said, oh, just cook with the kerosene or use a kerosene heater. The smell made me so sick. And I said, we need to reevaluate. This was like 25 years ago.
Right.
And but just knowing there are certain things I can't do. And I learned our pump was an electric pump. And so you didn't have water.
Right.
That made me the most miserable, was not having a supply of water that I could easily access. Because then water's heavy to have to carry around.
This is why I swear we're going to need the solar-powered, you know, water generator from the atmosphere, as far as it takes condensation and turns it into water. These are the kinds of things that
that's
we
right.
need. Thinking ahead.
That's
putting
right.
them in your arsenal. Sleeping in sleeping bag liners can help. Insulate your tent with carpet and rugs. All kinds of stuff. All right. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Rush said this was his favorite song back in 2016.
Wow.
Caribou, Can't Do Without You. Anyway, welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Make sure that you go to... what was I going to say?
Balance
of Nature. My mind's on so many things today. Make sure you go to Balance of Nature and order up. And I would order in bulk. I'd have those nutrients on hand, to tell you the truth. Then one of the smartest things you can do. It can last. And I'm telling you, it is the best fruits and vegetables. They take the air and water out and leave you with the nutrients. So really amazing product. Make sure that you are taking it every day. Three fruits, three veggie capsules. That's it. Really quick. And if you put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E, at balanceofnature.com, balanceofnature.com, you can get 35% off and free shipping. You'll love me for this one. I'm going to take a quick call. Let me do that. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
My husband and I wore our Betsy Ross shirts today in memory of Rush.
That's
so sweet.
That's great. I'm glad you said that. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's a tough loss. Yeah, tough loss. Good man. Thank you for that.
You can kind of tell. You could tell last week and something was up because he hadn't been on for a while. So it's like,
uh-oh. Yeah. Dang it. Thank you. Kind words. All right. There was a couple of things Kevin wanted to add. Kevin Reeves with us. I wanted to add because he teaches about preparedness. But how do you keep your house warm, Kevin?
Well, the best alternative heat source available is a wood stove, if you have one. If you don't have one, then propane is your second best source. And beyond that would be white gas, and then finally kerosene. Kerosene produces the most carbon monoxide, so it is the least preferred method of heating. But there's a lot of little things you can do to make it make your house more efficient. Putting bubble wrap over the windows to add insulation. Closing off just the one room and having everybody stay in there. Turning on your stove if it's gas.
Right.
And, having four burners of gas burning is, might cost you on the bill end of it, but it will keep you from freezing.
Thank you for that. Yeah. I also, on the water issue, I am putting up a DIY atmospheric drinking water generator that you can make on your own for about $300.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. And it just pulls at the condensation out of the air, and you can even be in a desert, yes, and it will give you water. So I'll put this up. I'm putting it up on the Kate Daly Show page on Facebook right now. But go check it out. For $300, you can build your own.
Yeah.
And I love the hints about what to use,
absolutely,
to stay warm, too.
Can I just say, really important is carbon monoxide is a deadly off gas from these heating products. And you want to make sure you always have ventilation and that you are not in a completely enclosed room. Kevin, did you have a comment on
that?
No,
you have to let air in. You need a CO2, a CO detector to alert you when the carbon monoxide levels get high. Because any combustion of any kind creates carbon monoxide.
Even a fireplace.
Yes.
Because some fireplaces, there's been stories where a fireplace would get covered with snow, the gases would get trapped, and whole families would be deceased.
Right.
And so you have to be very, very careful. And people who are not accustomed to using these types of heating methods aren't always knowledgeable about that. So spread the word, because
one of the biggest killers is that people run their generators inside their garage or in their house.
Right.
Deadly mistake. For the same reason, carbon monoxide buildup. You have to put it outside. Now, there's always the worry that it's going to get stolen, so you probably have to chain it down, but make sure you don't
put it in the garage.
Absolutely don't put it in the garage.
Because, see, you would think the garage would be okay, right?
Right.
And it turns out it's not, because the gases leak into the house.
That's
so
that's the number one killer of people through carbon monoxide is
generators.
Right.
Astonishing, right?
Yeah, it is.
You don't even think about it.
All right.
So
let's shift gears a little bit.
Yes.
I want to talk. Oh, I hate talking about this dictator puppet, because that's what he is. He can't even finish a sentence, and he is such a puppet. I'll never forget the clip of Obama going, if I could just get a third term and put a microphone in somebody's ear and tell them what to do. And I'm going, yeah, we got it. That's what we have right now with Biden, dictator Biden. He's just such a puppet of the just worst kind. But go ahead. He's so many shades of awful.
They're calling it a train wreck of a town hall because his gaffes were so extraordinary.
Yes, like this one.
No, everybody knows I like kids better than people.
I saw a picture of you with your grandson recently.
That's right.
Gosh,
yeah.
He's such a weirdo.
It is weird.
Anyway.
And then he said, when asked about now he is the president in the White House instead of just the vice president, Biden says, I wake up every morning, look at Jill and say, where the hell are we?
I'll bet he does. He's only being honest.
I'm sure that is the case. And so then in talking about vaccinations and how you have to go online to get an appointment, he said, minorities don't know how to use, know how to get online. Minorities don't know how to use, don't know how to get online.
The odd thing about this is if Trump would have said that, it would have made the news for a week. They would have never stopped talking about it. Biden says it. Nobody cares. The media provides so much cover for him. It's so disgusting to watch.
That's right. So that's why this is just unbelievable, probably, and not a lot of people watched it, but a lot of people are now reviewing the clips, like this one where he said it was the primary concern of many minority communities, and this is actually true, is not police brutality, but it's black-on-black crime. So it's almost like he is throwing his own side under the bus by stating things that are true and then also making a buffoon of himself. So he makes this random comment that says, did you ever 5 years ago think every second or third ad out of five or six should turn out to be biracial couples? Just a random comment.
You know, every ad is a biracial couple, which is not reflective of America, but they sure want us to think it's reflective of America. It is the most bizarre thing to watch.
I think it's defensive on the part of the companies. They're so afraid of being attacked for being racist that they're saying, well, we're just going to put all these people of different races.
Every family is going to look like the United Nations portrait, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
In every commercial.
Even though that's not reflective. It truly isn't. I mean, at least tell the truth, but yeah, it's bizarre. Anyway.
No. But literally the worst, most jaw-dropping was when he was talking about the Uyghurs and just what is going on in China. And he said, you know, I'm not going to speak out against what he, president, is doing in Hong Kong, what he's doing with the Uyghurs in the Western mountains of China. Culturally, there are different norms that each country and their leaders are expected to follow. Now, Trump, through Pompeo, said what the Chinese are doing with the Uyghurs is genocide. It is concentration camps. It is detention camps. It is no due process. People are dragged out of their homes and away from their families. They're separated. This is literally what is called a pogrom, where you are attacking a race for just that. And to say each country's norms are different.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
You know, Chinese leaders, if you know anything about Chinese history, it has always been the time when China has been victimized by the outer world is when they haven't been unified at home. So the central, to vastly overstate it, the central principle of Xi Jinping is that there must be a united, tightly controlled China. And he uses his rationale for the things he does based on that. I point out to him, no American president can be sustained as a president if he doesn't reflect the values of the United States. And so the idea, I'm not going to speak out against what he's doing in Hong Kong, what he's doing with the Uyghurs in Western mountains of China and Taiwan, trying to end the one China policy by making it forceful. I said, and by the way, he said he gets it. Culturally, there are different norms at each country, and their leaders are expected to follow.
That's, gosh, what
a train wreck.
Oh my gosh. Unbelievable. I'm sucking up to president of China because, I mean, why didn't he just say, I'm getting a big fat check, and so you'll never hear me say a bad word about China. Look at, China gets it. China wants control, and that's okay, and China's... He might as well have just, you know, he just kissed their rear end on national TV. Why? I'm sure they're loving it. They're loving their little puppet. Good heavens.
He has just justified genocide as a cultural norm and said there's different cultural norms. And so I'm not going to speak out against it.
Yeah.
It is his job as the president of the United States to call out leaders for genocide. That's his job.
I'm surprised he didn't call it Chimerica. I'm serious. I mean, he's their man. He's their boy. It is truly amazing to watch. And here's him talking about, I wake up every morning.
I don't think I have the authority to do a assignment.
You have, over the years, over your career, you've already spent a great deal of time at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, except now you're living there and you're president. It's been 4 weeks. What's it like? How's it different?
I get up in the morning, look at Jill and say, where the hell are we?
Come on, man.
If people think there might be a mental decline issue, is that really the kind of joke you want to insinuate. Mm-hmm. His tone deafness.
Well, he's being real. He doesn't know where he is half the time.
I know.
He's got a microphone in his ear telling him what to say, unless he when he goes rogue. But here's a man who spent 45 years of a career doing nothing for freedom and doing everything he was told to do. And this is exactly why he was able to be handed the presidency in a fraudulent election, is because he was willing to do whatever they wanted him to do. And he and the Clintons and all of them are so co-opted by China. This was the reason. I mean, it's so telling. It's just so telling, and it's so in our face.
Yeah. Well, and part of the thing when people say, well, their hypocrisy or their blatant disregard of that we know what they're doing.
Right.
Someone said that's part of it. They enjoy exerting that power. There was another comment he made that there were no vaccines before he came into as president. Before the inauguration, there were no vaccines. That's one of the clips. And yet the first shots occurred on December 14th. Mm-hmm. And he... I believe he took the vaccine before then. So it, where is he getting this?
I don't think he ever took this vaccine.
Oh, no. Yes. Yeah. But alluded to it.
Yeah.
So it's just, and then he said, when do you think, you know, is this is all going to go back to normal? And he said, oh, by next Christmas, I think we'll be a different circumstance, God willing, than we are today. A year from now, I think there will be significantly fewer people social distancing and not having to wear a mask. He's saying Christmas of this coming year.
Goes right along with what MIT put out last year, said it will be 2 years. Very
just
telling.
Predictive. Yep. But I just read a thing that said, new infections are off by 25% this last week. 25% in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe that was in a country that I was reading a news article from. I don't remember, but wow, just the influence of Biden as president and things are falling off by 25%. It just,
it reeks of, I love the meme that says the doctor, you know, the guy asked the doctor, when will this go away? And he says, well, I'm not a politician.
Yeah.
Because that's so true. You know, it's so politicized now, and the lies are politicized, weaponized. And it's going to take a populace that's going to have to pull their heads out of their rear ends to see that after a year, it's not airborne or everyone would be dead. That's not wearing a mask. Like when you sit down at a table and take it off to eat, if it was airborne and your immune system couldn't handle guarding against it, we'd be dead. It's just so amazing to me that people can't go there in their minds. We've been China-ized with the masks. We've bought the narrative that you have to wear these things, that you don't have an immune system, and here we are. So dumb.
That's right. It's very effective brainwashing.
It is.
And the more I listen to Holocaust survivor stories, and they talk about how first they were told the children couldn't go to school, they had to stay out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And then the parents were told they couldn't keep their businesses open.
Yep.
Businesses closed. Then they were told to wear something. When you see the steps, you recognize
along.
Them. Yes, that's absolutely right.
Thank you, Susan. Mike Lindell on Friday, My Pillow Guy on Friday. You're going to want to hear what he has to say. And happy to have him on. And Chris Ann Hall tomorrow. Thank you, Susan.
You're so welcome.
And, of course, let's learn all the lessons. I did post the DIY atmospheric water generator so you can have free water when you want it on the Kate Daly Show page on Facebook.
Excellent.
$300 you can make that. Tells you step by step. Everybody, be faithful, be fearless. See you back here tomorrow. Thanks again, Susan.
You
Thanks,
bet.
Melissa. And hat tip to the great Rush Limbaugh.